Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Hello and welcome to Reality Check. Today is Monday, the 27th of September 2010, and I'm your host, Tony Pittman. And this is episode 52 of Reality Check here on Joy 94.9. Reality Check is a show designed to give you a healthy dose of reality. And we do that by promoting the art of critical thinking and skeptical analysis. Each week we bring you a roundup of LGBT news, followed by an in-depth analysis of an issue related to the paranormal or the pseudoscientific, and finally we wrap up each show with a movie review. On today's show, after our LGBT news roundup, we're going to have a look at the Victorian AIDS Council. Surely such a widely respected, reputable organisation charged with combating as serious a health issue as HIV/AIDS wouldn't be promoting disproven medical therapies, would it? Well, that's what we're going to investigate. And also, on a lighter note, because it is our last broadcast show of the year, I'm going to be joined by Sonia Suter as we talk about the skeptical and free-thinking highlights of the year so far. Then in our movie review, we'll have a look at a new documentary about the earthquake last year in L'Aquila in Italy and its political repercussions for Silvio Berlusconi. Dracula, Italy Trembles is the name of that film. So for all that and more, stay tuned here on Reality Check on Joy 94.9. Okay, just before we get into our news roundup, I should mention, as I have for the last few shows, that Reality Check is going to take a rest during the months of October, November, and December. So there'll be no regular shows broadcast on Joy 94.9 for those 3 months. I will, however, be producing the occasional podcast version during that time. So if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that at realitycheckonline.net. So that means that today is our last broadcast show for 2010. And because it's a special occasion, I've invited Reality Check's other host and regular special guest, Sonia Suter, to come and help me do tonight's show. Sonia, welcome. How are you this evening?
Fantastic. Love the rain.
The rain's nice.
The rain's great.
The rain's good, yes. And yesterday was so nice, the first day of spring. Well, it felt like
it. Felt like it,
didn't
it?
Was warm and sunny,
yeah.
Yes. And then rain today. So that's perfect. Yeah. Perfect for the garden to grow. Okay, let's get into our LGBT news roundup now for the last week or so. And today, all our news comes from the two great Anglo-Saxon powers, the UK and the USA. Let's head first to the United States, where there have been various developments on two of the major LGBT rights battles raging across the country at the moment: same-sex adoption rights and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So let's start with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was the big news of last week, and unfortunately also the bad news. Now, just to remind you, dear listener, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is the policy that prevents gay, lesbian, and bisexual people from serving in the US military. In May this year, a bill was passed by the US House of Representatives to repeal that policy. Then, last Tuesday, September 21st, the bill went up for a vote in the US Senate, and unfortunately, it was blocked with a filibuster led by former presidential candidate John McCain. Proponents of repeal needed 60 out of 100 votes to stop the filibuster, but in the end, they only got 56. All the Republican senators voted against repeal, as well as 3 conservative Democrats. So this was a major disappointment for LGBT rights activists in the US, as it means that most likely all possibilities for repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell have now disappeared until after the congressional elections in November, at least, which will probably see the Republicans increase their numbers in both houses of Congress.
But never fear, dear listener, because there has been further progress on the judicial front regarding Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, earlier this month, a federal court in California ruled that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is unconstitutional. And we're happy to report that there was another victory for LGBTIQ activists last Friday when another federal court judge, this time in the state of Washington, ordered the U.S. Air Force to reinstate Major Margaret Witt, a flight nurse who was discharged in 2006 for being a lesbian. Now that's fantastic news over there. So a setback in the Congress last week, but another victory in the federal courts. It seems that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is on its last legs. We just don't know when it will finally be gone for good.
Okay, staying in the US, let's move across the country now from Washington State to Florida, where a state appeals court ruled last Wednesday that the ban on same-sex couples adopting children was unconstitutional, upholding a similar decision that had been made at trial in 2008. And the good news is that immediately after this ruling, Florida Governor Charlie Crist announced that the state will no longer enforce the ban, and so same-sex couples are now able to adopt children in Florida. So, wonderful news. The judge at the trial found that there was, quote, no rational basis for this ridiculous ban, and the appeals court agreed with her. However, that's something our politicians here in Victoria still don't seem to understand, because in Victoria in 2010, same-sex couples are still prohibited from adopting children. Shame on the Victorian government and the Victorian opposition for allowing this injustice to continue.
Now let's cross the pond now to the United Kingdom, where developments last week suddenly brought full same-sex marriage rights a lot closer to becoming a reality. The UK has had civil partnerships for same-sex couples since 2005, but not full civil marriage. So the first good news came last Tuesday, September 21st, when the delegates to the Liberal Democrats conference in Liverpool voted in favour of a policy to allow same-sex couples the right to marry. And this is significant because, of course, the Liberal Democrats are the minor party in the current UK coalition government, along with the Conservatives. Now, this change probably won't lead to any immediate move for reform, but now that that's official party policy, it's certainly an encouraging sign for the future. And also encouraging is the election on Saturday of Ed Miliband as the shiny new leader of the UK Labour Party. Now, he's spoken out numerous times in favour of LGBTIQ equality, and he supports full marriage rights for same-sex couples. So all this means that now 2 out of 3 of the most powerful political leaders in the UK finally support full marriage equality. It certainly bodes well for the future there. We just have to wait and see when the Prime Minister, David Cameron, will come on board. Ironically, one of the major obstacles to marriage equality in the UK is Stonewall, the largest LGBTIQ rights lobby group in the UK. In fact, it's the largest in Europe. Bizarrely, Stonewall, under the leadership of Ben Summerskill, has consistently remained quiet on marriage equality, and while not strictly opposing it, he has refused to campaign for it or even speak out in favour of it. Finally, this ridiculous position is coming to public attention, as even the leader of the Labour Party is now more advanced on LGBTIQ rights issues than Stonewall. A very strange situation indeed, and hopefully one that will change in the very near future.
Let's hope so. Okay, that's all the news we have time for today. Let's listen to a song now, and when we come back, we'll have a brief look at some of the very dubious medical modalities being promoted by the Victorian AIDS Council. And then, on a lighter note, Sonia and I will talk about our sceptical highlights of 2010 so far. So plenty of sceptical and free-thinking discussion coming up right here on Reality Check on Joy 94.9.
Award-winning radio for our community, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check. I'm Tony Pittman and the station is Joy 94.9. And the song you just heard there was Shut Your Eyes by Snow Patrol. Okay, we now move into the part of the show where we undertake a skeptical analysis of a subject related to pseudoscience or the paranormal. And tonight, Sonia and I are going to talk about some of our skeptical highlights of the year so far. But before we do that, I do just want to spend a few minutes to talk about an issue that I find quite troubling. And it concerns a very well-respected institution here in Victoria, the Victorian AIDS Council. Now, dear listener, please don't misunderstand me. I think the Victorian AIDS Council does a lot of fantastic work and is really a very worthy, admirable, and important organisation. And in fact, that just makes it even worse when you discover that an institution you admire is engaging in something quite dubious and disreputable. It unfortunately tarnishes the whole organisation, in my opinion. And basically, the issue that troubles me is that as well as all the good and valuable work it does, the VAC also promotes a number of unproven and even disproven so-called complementary and alternative therapies. Now, my attention was first drawn to this issue when I noticed a pile of brochures in the foyer of one of the VAC's medical clinics. A brochure entitled Complementary and Alternative Therapies, A Guide for People Living with HIV/AIDS. Naturally, I was curious as to what it would say. HIV is a real and very serious virus. AIDS is a real and very serious illness. This is not the type of stuff that alternative medicines are normally used for. You know, mild self-limiting conditions like the common cold, insomnia, stress, general aches and pains, that kind of thing. Things that can often be cleared up purely by the placebo effect, or will go away of their own accord. So I picked up the brochure and had a look, and I found it extremely troubling. The basic tone of the whole brochure is that complementary and alternative medicines can be effective at treating HIV/AIDS. Let me read to you some passages in particular. Now, it lists some of the benefits that you can get from complementary and alternative medicines, and these include, quote, prevention of the development of opportunistic infections, and treatment to strengthen the immune system and reduce levels of virus without or combined with the use of allopathic medication, end quote. And in case you're wondering, dear listener, by allopathic medication, they mean science-based medicine. But did you get the point there? It's saying that you can reduce your viral load by using alternative therapies without conventional science-based medicine. So now you see why the alarm bells were going off in my head. Now, the brochure then goes on to say, and I quote, "Some therapists may insist that you do not use any other therapies while under their care. This may or may not suit your treatment goals." A few pages later, it gives a big thumbs up to homeopathy, saying, quote, "Homeopathic medicine may successfully treat many acute everyday ailments more quickly and safely than orthodox methods," end quote. Yes, dear listener, you heard right. Homeopathy, that's been disproven countless times and never shown to have any effect beyond placebo. Disturbingly, the chapter on naturopathy includes the following sentence, and I quote, "There is some variation among naturopaths as to how HIV is defined, but it is generally seen as an immune system dysfunction," end quote. Now, what on earth does that mean? Variation as to how HIV is defined? Sounds ominous, doesn't it? Maybe they're alluding to the fact that a proportion of naturopaths don't actually believe in germ theory. They don't believe that bacteria and viruses cause diseases. Now, I don't know what they're alluding to with that statement in the brochure, but it seems that this little booklet could be sending people with HIV straight off into the arms of naturopaths who deny that HIV even causes disease. In my opinion, that is so irresponsible as to defy comprehension. And the booklet goes on for page after page of similar statements about acupuncture, aromatherapy, chiropractic, iridology, reflexology, Reiki, and many others. And this charming booklet, packed with potentially dangerous misinformation, is being distributed by the Victorian AIDS Council on its premises. Now, needless to say, after making this disturbing discovery, I was deeply concerned. So I contacted Mike Kennedy, the executive director of the Victorian AIDS Council, and let him know my concerns about the booklet. I also asked if someone from the VAC could come onto Reality Check to talk about what alternative medicines, if any, the VAC itself offers and why they do that. He said he'd get onto it, and after a number of phone calls and emails, Mike Kennedy finally responded to my request 4 months later with the following email, and I quote, "I have had a chance to listen to a couple of your shows. It is clear that you have very fixed views about complementary and alternative therapies and use your show as a vehicle for hectoring your listeners. I can see no benefit for the VAC or our client group in making someone available for your show, so we'll decline your invitation." End quote. Well, dear listener, I'm sure that you can imagine the first thing I did upon receiving such an email. I ran to my dictionary to look up the verb to hector. And this is what I discovered. To hector, to bully, to torment, to badger, to harass. Oh, in other words, I bully and torment my listeners. Oh, well, thank you for your constructive criticism there, Mike. All listener feedback is most welcome here at Reality Check. But there was one thing that deeply troubled me about your email, because you said something that is factually wrong. You said that I have very fixed views about complementary and alternative therapies. But that's not true. We're a skeptical show here. I'm a skeptic. The very definition of a skeptic is someone who does not have fixed views, whose views are based on evidence and change with changing evidence. So it's completely and utterly wrong to say that I have fixed views on alternative medicines. I've stated this many times on the show. In fact, that's what the whole purpose of the show is about. And it troubles me that Mike Kennedy didn't understand that. It wouldn't have been too hard to find out. Just look up the definition of skeptic or, I don't know, ask me. Anyway, I wrote back to Mike Kennedy and pointed out this misunderstanding and asked him, now that I'd explained the reality check position to him, whether he would permit someone from the VAC to speak on the show. And unfortunately, he still refused. He also finally responded to my complaint about the distribution of that horrible booklet and said, quote, "I believe it is appropriate for us to continue making that resource available to VAC clients," end quote. So, very disturbing news in my opinion. And also disturbing is that the VAC itself, through its various clinics and centres, offers a number of alternative therapies to people with HIV/AIDS, including Reiki, acupuncture, and naturopathy. And remember, dear listener, that part of the philosophy of most naturopaths is against pharmaceuticals. I discovered also that they used to offer homeopathy as well at the VAC, well, at least they did in 2005. Now, we've looked at all of these treatments in detail in previous episodes of Reality Check and discovered that they're all extremely dodgy and not based on science or evidence. And yet the VAC is offering these modalities and promoting them for people with HIV. Why? How much does it promote them? How does it justify this behavior? Well, I have no idea. They refuse to speak to us and answer our questions. Very, very disappointing. Now, let me just quickly explain what troubles me most about this. And it's the same thing I've said pretty much every time we've looked at alternative medicines here on Reality Check, including last week when we looked at Karen Phelps. But I'll state it again briefly just to be very clear. By offering alternative therapies, you imply that they are effective at treating illness beyond just the placebo effect. So if you're a reputable and credible organization like the VAC, and you're promoting alternative therapies as being effective, well, many people will believe you. And it's highly likely that some of those people will believe that those therapies can treat their HIV. Particularly when you're distributing brochures that certainly create that impression. And yet, all the scientific evidence shows clearly that those therapies cannot treat HIV. You're therefore putting people's health and people's lives in danger. And that is deeply irresponsible and morally reprehensible. So that, in a nutshell, is my problem with an organization like the VAC promoting disproven alternative remedies. And just finally, I have to say that I am very disappointed that Mike Kennedy refused to allow anyone from the VAC to come on the show to explain the organization's policies, or just to answer some simple questions. I mean, organizations like this should be answerable to the public, especially when the VAC receives over $4 million of taxpayers' money every year. That's almost 80% of its total income. And particularly disappointing that Mike Kennedy himself refuses to come on the show to answer questions because, well, he's someone that a number of people are asking questions about, and not just concerning his promotion of alternative medicines. Mike Kennedy has been the executive director of the VAC now for 11 years. He came into the job in 1999. And when you look at yearly infection rates, HIV infection rates in Victoria, well, they peaked in 1985, very early in the epidemic, and then gradually fell to their lowest level in 1998. And then in 1999, when Mike Kennedy took over, they started rising again and have been gradually rising year by year since then. So the VAC under Mike Kennedy is failing to achieve one of its primary goals, to prevent transmission of HIV, and still receiving millions of dollars of public money. Now, Mike, I gave you the opportunity to come onto the show to defend yourself, but you refused. So it's a shame that someone with seemingly a lot of explaining to do refuses to come on to the show to explain anything. Anyway, that's all a bit heavy and depressing, and we shouldn't have that on our last broadcast show for the year. So let's lighten things up this evening, and let's bring Sonia Suter back into the show, and let's have a bit more fun, and let's look at some of our skeptical highlights of the year so far, as this is our last broadcast show. But I think first, Sonia, you know, to celebrate our last broadcast show of the year and everything, would you like a glass of champagne, maybe?
Another one? Oh, yes, okay.
Oh, here you go.
Here you go. Oh!
Oh.
Oh, okay.
When?
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like the '80s all over again.
That's right.
A wicked era.
Is that nice? The champagne? Oh, maybe
yes.
I'll have one myself.
Oh,
excellent. Oh, we always like to have an excuse to have champagne here on Reality Check. Okay. Now, Sonia has made a list of her five
favorite things. Reality Check. Well, not so much favorite things, but perhaps events and things that have been happening.
Highlights
since,
of
know,
the year, yeah.
2010. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that was brought to my attention on Reality Check while you were on one of your leaves of absence.
Oh, yes. yes, because we should mention that Sonia does sit in for me when I'm on leave of absence.
Sometimes
yes.
I do, yes. I try to, myself and Robert and Jason Ball. And Jason mentioned the wonderful thing of James Randi officially coming out of the closet this year.
Yes, that was a pretty major event.
That was pretty amazing.
This year.
Yep. And he's the Canadian-American stage, well, ex-stage magician, but also skeptic. He used to be the amazing Randi. And he's also the man who came up with the $1 million paranormal challenge, US $1 million, and still nobody's been able to take that prize.
That's right. Nobody's been able to prove they have paranormal
right.
powers.
And, of course, he also exposed the fraudulent Uri Geller, naturally.
Oh, yeah. Very
Now,
dodgy.
Randi's gay. He came out in a post on the Swift blog in March of 2010, and he's 81.
That's right.
So better late than never.
That's right, exactly.
Fantastic.
And actually, we should mention that Randi is coming to Australia in Ooh. November. Yes, he's going to be at TAM, the amazing meeting, at the end of November. I've already got my ticket.
What does TAM stand for?
TAM stands for The Amazing Meeting.
Oh, that meeting.
That meeting. And, and it's run by the James Randi Educational Foundation. And
cool.
he's coming out.
Are they going to schools? It's part of the chaplaincy, you know, to counter that.
the skeptical chaplaincy,
yes.
I don't know, would be a very good idea.
Very good idea. Yeah. And I think one of the other highlights was in March 12 to 14, which was, of course, the Atheist Convention held in Melbourne. One of the, I believe, still one of, historically, at this stage, one of the largest get-togethers of a whole lot of bunch of atheist people.
Yeah,
which
that's
was
right.
great.
And that was a fantastic conference. And they did say, yeah that supposedly it was the largest
meeting,
gathering
of non-believers.
For, I guess, to discuss atheism supposedly
right.
in history. That's what they said. Mm.
And one of the highlights was actually listening to the Bangladeshi woman activist Taslima Nazreen and her topic of discussion, which was my struggle for secularism, human rights, freedom of expression, and for women's freedom, and her powerful speech about how Islam presses and enslaves women. That was very moving. I think
yeah.
you went to that one too.
Oh yeah, I went to all of them. She was great.
Passed
yeah.
the tissue box. It was a bit like that.
Yeah, there weren't many dry eyes left at the end. That's right.
Yeah. And so that was a big one. That was probably number two for me. Number three would be, speaking of wacko religious organizations. Oh, you were about to say something.
No, I was also say we got to see celebrity atheist Richard Dawkins.
Dickie Dawkins, yes, of course. But, you know, he gets a lot of sound bites.
He does, he does.
Does he need more? Probably.
Actually, I think I preferred Dan Barker's speech.
Oh, yeah.
That.
He was
really
beautiful,
good.
Actually. Yeah. He's very powerful.
Former evangelical minister who's now one of the co-head of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in the United States. Yeah, he was good.
He was mesmeric, wasn't he?
He was mesmeric, exactly.
Mesmeric.
Okay, Sonia,
now,
please continue
speaking of
with
wacko,
your list.
The wackos and religion.
Oh, we like the wackos. Yeah.
We went to the Mind and Body Convention, and that was so much fun.
That was the highlight of
was
my
it
year.
Not? And you got some great sound bites and interviews.
Yes,
which you have played a few
on previous shows. Yeah. Yep.
But seriously, there was a bundle of laughs there, but there was also some not so funny moments when Reality Check and the temporary Reality Check person, myself, came close to being physically attacked by homophobic Muslims who expressed their desire to kill all homosexuals. That was pretty scary. But a bit of a wake-up call that it's not just the Catholic Church that are out to, you know, be intolerant and attack us.
No, yes. Unfortunately, you can find homophobic, fanatical religious people.
That's
probably
true.
Within every religion, yeah.
Well, they made the Scientologists look a little bit cuddlier by comparison.
That's hard.
And
to
they're
do.
Pretty homophobic. So that was hard. And talking about outrageous affronts to humanity, and how about the sex crimes the Catholic Church has been carrying on, well, for centuries, but overwhelmingly it's been in the news in the past few months and, at least the past year. And of course, the highlight would have to be the Pontiff's visit to the UK with the Arrest the Pope movement, which has been pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was just a couple of weeks ago.
They didn't get to do it, but it certainly
to arrest him.
No, but it brought a lot of attention to the diocese and exactly the nasty goings on and the cover-ups that he himself, the earpiece to God, was involved in.
And and just all the generally ridiculous things that he says.
That's crazy. But also another Catholic event, I think would be a highlight of absurdity, and that is the canonization of Mary MacKillop. It's the final countdown. Yes, indeed, it's the final countdown for the canonization of Mary MacKillop, a local lass from Fitzroy, of all things, born in Brunswick. Now, the so-called saint for all Australians, and in connection to the modern-day sex crime scandals, back in the early 1870s, MacKillop herself and other members of the Josephites heard of allegations that a Father Keating was getting up to no good in a parish in Adelaide's north. He had been sexually abusing children for some time. Now, Mary MacKillop, fortunately, did inform other fathers, and unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, Father Keating was sent back to Ireland where he came from, but the reasons for his dismissal apparently was publicly believed to be of alcohol abuse, not of actual sexual abuse of children, which this angered a lot of his supporters, and unfortunately, they sought retribution on the Josephites, which was Mary MacKillop's gang of nuns, and she was actually excommunicated for a period of time. So, very interesting. So even back then it was happening, the sexual crimes of these people.
Yes, I think as I've mentioned before on this show, I'm sure that the level of sexual abuse of children within the various churches hasn't changed at all over the last couple of thousand years.
Now.
It's just that it's been talked about now. Yeah.
So, yeah, some things never change. And that, to me, is one of the big factors as to why a religion of any sort should always be checked and checked again and again for dirty little secrets and any sexual and anti-woman crimes as well. Now, they've been getting off very lightly for a very long time. But, of course, now we've got the canonization coming up of Mary MacKillop. And you can even go online and you can see the countdown itself if you go online.
I have to say, until you told me about this evening, Sonia, I hadn't heard of this.
You never would you?
There is a real countdown day when she officially becomes a saint. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, there are 19 days and approximately 22 hours and say 30-something minutes, but it is a live countdown clock. So you can go and look that up. Just Google Blessed Mary MacKillop journey to canonisation, and it's marymackillop.org.au, and you'll find all the news there, like how to book your trip to Rome and some of the highlights.
You get you're going to say book your trip to heaven to visit Mary MacKillop.
Well, okay. She does actually intercede for you.
Right.
You can actually do an e-prayer online. So you just put in your prayer.
Oh, she's online now.
225 words maximum.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, actually make that characters. 225 characters maximum.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Don't go overboard there. So put your little list in of things you want and the bad things that you've done that you want to be forgiven for, and then just put it through your email. And
how many $1 million can you get with 225 characters?
I don't know, but I'm sure it's enough to pay lawyers' fees for sex crimes. We will see. We'll keep you posted about the journey to canonization. So people, check it out.
Oh, right.
She's on her way.
So on the 17th of October,
yes.
What, she moves from one wing in heaven to another wing. Like they'll
she
open
gets
up
her
the,
wings, oh, her full
gets
wings.
She her wings and she flies
not
up
not her pink
to the...
wings, but her full... I'm up there. I'm close to God wings
right.
Because she can go through... direct now, like a direct line.
Oh, it's like an access all areas pass kind of thing.
Yeah, but I guess all those other blokes will be in the way, like the guy with the arrows stuck in him and the woman that's still tied to the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Kathy,
right.
Whatever her name is.
She's getting busy up there.
She's going to be busy. So, yeah, if you get your emails through with your prayers, I'm sure she can help you out.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Yeah, I'll
and
get on to that.
And probably number five would be... of course, Christopher Hitchens, you know, his illness has actually been, in a way, it's been very depressing, but the positives is he's still hanging in there.
Okay, so we should just mention his illness is throat cancer.
Throat.
He was diagnosed.
Yes. Yeah. And he's still hanging in there, and he doesn't want people to pray for him. He had a prayer. no, seriously, there was a prayer day a few days ago.
Really?
And he actually wasn't going to participate. Funny that. So he's still my favourite teddy bear, and it would be great if he could... hopefully pull through and give us more food for thought. Things like he's said in the past, like he said about faith. He says, faith is the surrender of the mind. It's the surrender of reason. It's the surrender of the only thing that makes us different from other mammals. It's our need to believe and to surrender our skepticism and our reason, our yearning to discard that and put all our trust or faith in someone or something that is the sinister thing to me. Of all the supposed virtues, faith must be the most overrated.
That's a nice quote, isn't it? I can't see I mean, what's so good about faith? It seems like a fault, not a virtue, believing what can't be proven.
George Michael's song's nice, but hasn't got him anywhere, except jail.
Yes, that's right. Hasn't helped him very much, but...
there's some of the things. I'm sure there's more highlights to come. Ayan Hirsi Ali was in town, and I didn't get to see her, and I was a bit unfortunate, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting year so far, and there, of course, now this is our last broadcast show, but there are still 3 months left of the year, so hopefully still lots of exciting skeptical events to come. Now, I just thought of two quick things, skeptical events that happened this year that are maybe worth mentioning, and one is the unfortunate death of Martin Gardner, who was one of the original skeptics in the United States. I think he was pretty active since the 50s, and he just died a few weeks ago. Well, maybe a couple of months ago, and he was in his 90s. So he's been going strong. And even just a few days before he died, he was still publishing articles in skeptical magazines and things. So
that's
active,
awesome.
Until his 90s, until the end. And the other good thing that happened this year was, if people have been following the Simon Singh case in the UK, this is a libel case. Simon Singh is a skeptic and science writer, and he's written a lot about alternative medicine. And he wrote an article in The Guardian about chiropractic in which he used, I can't remember the exact quote, but something about chiropractors happily promote bogus remedies. And the British Chiropractic Association sued him for libel, and which was ridiculous and completely unjust. And he had a first case in which he lost, and then on appeal, He won, so then the British Chiropractic Association dropped its suit. So this was a victory for science and discussion of science against British libel law. So that was a positive outcome there for Simon Singh, for freedom of speech to discuss these scientific issues, particularly around alternative medicines. Now, just before we get into our last song, I did want to mention quickly that one reason why I'm not doing Reality Check for the next grid for the next 3 months is that I'm working on a play.
This is the plug.
Hey, this is my show, Sanya, come on. So this is the play. So all Reality Check listeners have to be listening out for this. This is the first time you'll hear about it. The show is called Susie versus Samantha Fur Will Fly. And actually, today's September 27th. So opening night is in exactly 4 months from today, January 27th. At Gasworks Theatre. Start saving up. Start getting ready. Start sewing the sequins onto your frock.
Or fur.
For the flying fur.
A bit too hot for fur.
In January, yeah. It would be quite warm, yeah. So this is a play. I've written it. I'm directing,
starring,
producing, and
it.
Acting. And
you're doing the curtains as well.
Probably. So watch out for that. You'll probably hear more about that in the future, but that's going to be my project. That's why I thought, well, it's going to be keeping me busy. I can't really commit to doing one show a week because these shows do take quite a lot of preparation. But as I said, I will still be doing the podcast every 2 or 3 weeks. So if you want to subscribe to the Reality Check podcast, you can do that on the website realitycheckonline.net. And also, I should, before we go to our last song, I should thank Graham from North Carlton for his letter that I got last week, and it was an actual letter in an envelope with a stamp, which is very nice to receive from time to time. So thank you very much, Graham, for that letter and the interesting article about religion and politics. Much appreciated. Okay, Sonia Suter, were there any final comments you wanted to make before we go to our song and then our movie review?
I can't think of any at the moment.
No. All right. Maybe after a bit of music.
Yeah.
Okay, now just before we do that, if you do have any questions or comments about something we've covered on the show or something you'd like us to cover, please feel free to send us an email. The address is realitychecktony@gmail.com. And you can also visit our webpage, realitycheckonline.net.
I probably can think of something to say. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have a show called Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Of course. Your plug.
For God's
your turn
sake,
to
not
plug.
Not again. Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Joy 94.9. And this week we're going to be looking at, funnily enough, spirituality, God in space, what's he doing there, speculative fiction and spirituality and the belief systems of God, and also television. There's horror and science fiction television as well. So join me and Kaz this Wednesday, the 29th.
At 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Is
excellent.
That all right?
And you will be continuing for the next 3 month grid. Yes,
I'll do it. Yep.
All right. But not Reality Check. And Mr. Paul Anthony, famous Joy celebrity Paul Anthony, has just prodded me to remind me to mention that I do appear on The Conch fairly regularly. That's the Monday morning show from 9 to 12 here on Joy 94.9, where you can call up and have your say, because we do take callback on The Conch, which is always a lot of fun. So you can call up and call me an idiot or whatever. You can agree or disagree, and we can have a fun and interesting discussion. So that's The Conch, Monday mornings, 9 to 12. Okay, now we are going to finally play our song, and when we come back, we'll get into this week's movie review.
All day, all day, all night. Joy 94.9.
Reality Check, this is Sonia. I'm with Tony Pittman this evening, hosting the very last Reality Check. Well, not quite the very last. And that was
this year on the radio.
For this year, 2010. That was a track by the Boogie Down Productions called You Must Learn, and that's from Chuck D Presents Louder Than a Bomb. And yeah, I think it says the message there, which is learning is a good thing. Depends what you learn.
Indeed, you must learn. Learning is always good, yes. Nice to have new experiences, be exposed to new ideas all the time. That's our philosophy here at Reality Check. Now, we have had a couple of text messages here. I'll read this one from Peter. Peter says, okay, so earlier on in the show, we were talking about the Victorian AIDS Council and the alternative remedies and therapies that it offers. So Peter says, I have had HIV for 10 years. So far, none of the methods used to treat my condition have ever been scientifically proved, as every glimmer of hope fails when the virus mutates. Antiretroviral therapy will also kill me off if used forever. I too use other therapies, and much of this may just be in my mind, but I now have not been on the drug regime now for 7 years. So that's Peter's message. All right, thank you, Peter. We always like to hear listeners' opinions about these. And of course, I didn't in no way intended to minimize the seriousness of HIV and AIDS. I just am concerned that the Victorian AIDS Council, which should be basing its policies on science and evidence in some fields, is promoting things that haven't been proven and in fact have been disproven many times. Okay, we are now officially into our movie review here on Reality Check. And the movie up for review tonight is a new documentary from Italy called Dracula, Italy Trembles. Now, this movie is showing as part of the Italian Film Festival, which is screening in Melbourne for the next couple of weeks, and also touring the country to all state capitals and Canberra during October. Now, Sonia, you haven't seen this film.
I have not, but so, I'm intrigued by the title and what it means.
All right, so I'll okay. Just tell you a bit about it, and you can throw comments and peanuts and popcorn.
Oh.
Okay, so at 3:32 a.m. on the 6th of April 2009, a magnitude 6.3 earthquake struck the city of L'Aquila, about 100 kilometers northeast of Rome in central Italy. 308 people died in the disaster, making it Italy's most deadly quake since 1980.
Interesting that, considering the one in New Zealand was 7.3 and nobody died.
Yes, probably a lot to do with construction methods.
Yeah, and maybe. And permits.
Yes, permits.
They're for a
like
reason.
That. Now, L'Aquila, so this was a disaster. Now, we're running out of time, so I'll just basically give a quick summary of my review. This was a disaster. 308 people died. It was an historic city. A lot of historic medieval buildings were destroyed and damaged. And basically, the message of this film, it's a documentary done in kind of a comedic, satirical way, but the message is that this was actually, even though it was a disaster, this was a big boon for Silvio Berlusconi. So the movie basically looks at everything that happened after the quake and how Berlusconi leveraged on that disaster to increase his own popularity, which had been slumping. But he was, after the quake, basically he could go, I think he visited L'Aquila like 25 times. So he wanted to create the impression that he was...
Did he
was,
take a new escort every time?
I think he probably did. The press didn't report on that because, of course, Silvio Berlusconi controls 90% of the TV market in Italy. So this is... It's kind of frustrating to watch this movie because you realize, like... Like, just Italian politics and under Berlusconi and just with, you know, the corruption and him controlling the media, it's just so frustrating because he goes to L'Aquila and the press reports it as if he's saving the people. And then he has this project where he's building homes for the people left homeless, basically. And there's a ridiculous scene where he's in front of a crowd and the crowd's all cheering him. This is soon after the earthquake. And he says, you know, I'm going to give homes to the homeless now. I'm going to build all these houses, and I want it by September. I want the people to go into their homes, and they'll find a brand new TV, and they'll find a brand new fridge, and in the fridge there'll be a bottle of champagne, and there'll be a note saying this came from Silvio Berlusconi,
oh, wow.
And And I want all this done by my birthday in September so people can celebrate my birthday. Like, he's just this egomaniac.
You need to pop that champagne again, I think.
That could be quite in order. This is what the people will be doing when they move into their new Berlusconi houses.
Yeah, that's just...
I mean, he's
mind-blowing.
And of course, the media just presents him as a hero because they're all owned by him. But basically, I mean, this movie is, it's quite well done, but I think it is a little bit, maybe you need to be really into Italian politics and Italian. It's not made for an international market. It's made by an Italian, more for an Italian audience. It's quite, gets into a lot of detail about organizations and legal changes in Italy. I mean, it is very revealing, and it's kind of depressing to see the terrible state of Italian...
And the corruption.
And the corruption, the deep, 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 deep corruption that Berlusconi always managed to get out of all these prosecutions. So it's worth checking out. If you're into Italian politics, it's definitely worth checking out. Otherwise, yeah, it's all right, but quite a bit depressed, a bit frustrating when you come out. Oh, now I'm going to wrap up officially, but before I do that, I just want to thank Sonia Suter for joining us here on Reality
Check. For the
last broadcast show of the year. Thank you, Sonia Suter, very much for joining us.
Thank you for letting me come on. Nope. And the countdown. We're now, it's 17 days and 2 hours.
For Mary McKillop.
Yes.
Excellent. How exciting. And that brings us to the end of the 52nd episode of Reality Check on Joy 94.9. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to send any questions, comments or feedback to realitychecktony@gmail.com and visit our website to subscribe to the podcast at realitycheckonline.net. Coming up next, Cade and David present An Awkward Pause. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll see you sometime in the near future.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.